This morning on Wake Up with Hope, we will have a wonderful musical composition, and John Bradshaw will have the devotional thought for us.
Plus, Livin' in the Kitchen is back with another recipe and much, much more. Don't miss it.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. You know, it's a brand new day. It means a brand new opportunity to start fresh. You know, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, our inner self is being renewed day by day.
Amen. Yes, as you begin this new day, we want to remind you that God promises to be with you wherever you go. And we pray that you will cherish this thought as you go throughout your day.
Amen. You know, it's another lovely day here at Wake Up with Hope. And today we have something delicious for someone looking to improve their eye health. You've likely heard that carrots are great for your eyes. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
That's right.
Yeah,
they
it's
are.
Really, really interesting. Well, later on, we're going to share a delicious carrot recipe that is sure to help you get your daily serving in. But first, let's take a look back at this day in history.
A long time ago, on November 16, 1532, Francisco Pizarro, the Spanish explorer and conquistador, sprung a trap on the Incan Emperor Atahualpa. With fewer than 200 men against several thousand, Pizarro lured Atahualpa to a feast in the Emperor's honor and then opened fire on the unarmed Incans. Pizarro's men massacred the Incans and captured Atahualpa, forcing him to convert to Christianity before eventually killing him.
Wow, friends, what horror. And yet history is filled with these types of bloodshed-filled war stories. Mm-hmm. And what is interesting is that the Spanish, being severely outnumbered, depended on deception to win the battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's striking contrast to the Battle of Gideon, who though seriously outnumbered and not by choice, in fact, it was God's planning, Gideon trusted in God's plan, though he didn't understand it. And in the end, God's plan succeeded, of course. You see, as Christians, we don't have to rely on deception or trickery for success. God has a sure plan. So even when things appear uncertain and we don't know what to do, trust God's plan. He has a plan, and His plans to give you a secure and hopeful future is sure. Not just for now, but for all eternity.
Amen. Praise God for His good plans for each one of us. This morning, Livin' in the Kitchen brings us a recipe for creamy carrot soup. According to WebMD, carrots are a great source of important vitamins and minerals, and they're good for your eyes. They can lower your risk of cancer, help your heart, boost your immune system, and even help control diabetes. Let's get cooking.
Carrot soup is a nutrient-rich blank canvas. It easily accepts flavoring additions. Here we're using fresh herbs, rosemary, and oregano, but we could have easily chosen parsley or sage. Vegetables can be added like peas, celery, or sweet potato. And for a hearty soup, try adding potato or cooked brown rice. Spices like ginger or turmeric can also be fun additions. We added some hot sauce for a bit of heat, but this can be omitted for a sweeter flavor or to make it more kid-friendly. Also note that carrots are sweet, so instead of reaching for salt, maybe try a bit of honey. I like to make this soup because it's quick and can be transformed into whatever I need it to be. This is Chef Corey, and I approve this recipe.
Why do bad things happen to good people? Is there really a devil, or is Satan just a myth? Well, John Millay paints a clear and graphic picture of the underlying reasons behind why life seems so unfair. Let's check in to today's feature on Masterstroke and take a closer look.
Sir John Everett Millay painted The Enemy Sowing Tares in 1865. It's based on a parable where Jesus said a man sowed a field full of wheat. Then, in a bizarre twist, Jesus said what happens next. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Let's take a look at how Malay depicts this story. The enemy here looks nothing short of dastardly. Bare feet, uncut beard, and a sly smirk on his face. He has a bag full of seeds. The ugly terror stoops over to spread his evil work in among the wheat. There's a wolf in the background. That symbolizes cunning and deceit. Meanwhile, slippery snakes slither around his feet. So what does all this mean? Well, there's one thing we can be certain of. Jesus said categorically, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. In other words, in life, the enemy, the devil, puts bad in with the good. Now, this, of course, includes planting evil people in the church. But I believe there's a wider and more significant application. God created this world perfectly. But today, life is full of sadness, pain, and death. Doesn't God care? I believe this painting highlights one of the most important facts in life. God is love. But there's another player on the scene. We have an enemy who sows his evil with God's good. So who's responsible for the tragic things happening on our planet? According to Jesus, it's Satan. He's the troublemaker. He destroys. He causes pain. He brings trouble. He wants us to make the same choices in life that he's made. So here's the point. Life might seem unfair, but when bad things happen to you, don't blame God. Blame the enemy.
When we return, we'll have music by Chris James. And later, John Bradshaw shares with us a devotional thought. And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's program, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. Oh, and check our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
It's now time for music to inspire and nurture your spiritual life. Chris James sings the song, Unworthy.
Give the giver of life. What can I offer the one who has all? Well, I feel so small, 'cause you are so tall, and I'm overwhelmed by it all. Unworthy, unworthy, that's me. Unworthy I'll always be. Unworthy of the grace that you give. Yes, I'll always be the unworthy one. Try so hard, but I always fall short. I give you my all, but it's never enough. Well, I feel so small when you are so tall, and I'm overwhelmed by it all.
If you're enjoying today's program, be sure to share it and spread a little positive inspiration. You can also visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. We have to take a quick break now, but after the break, we're going to have today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw. But first, we have Doctor's Orders up next.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, I burned myself taking the radiator cap off.
Ooh, just a moment. Here.
What? A weed? I thought you're a real doctor.
I am a real doctor, but real doctors use herbs.
So what? Do you have a crystal ball as well?
No. Did you know Thomas Edison once said, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine."
Oh, really? Oh, wow, the burning is gone.
Great. Now we need to put on some aloe vera. And we'll cover that with a Band-Aid. There you go. Oh, that'll feel so much better.
I've never heard of using plantain for a burn. Why don't the drug companies use it?
Well, the average cost to get a drug to market is $1.3 billion by the time they do all the testing.
Wow, so there's no way that the drug companies could break even if they sold herbs.
That's right. I could pick it right out of the front yard. But herbs can treat some things that drugs can't.
Like what?
Like the pain of a mild burn with plantain and aloe vera. They do really well.
So if someone wants to learn about herbal remedies, they can read a book or go to a class or something like that?
They could. Or you could just go to a herbalist. And they've been trained in the benefits, the side effects, the dangers, the purity, and the quality control of herbs. So consider your options. Doctor's Orders. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends.
John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us today to share a devotional thought.
It is great to see you. I'm John Bradshaw from It Is Written. I'm trusting that your day is going well. I really consider it a privilege to have an opportunity to share with you. And today I want to share with you that something that many people find challenging. This isn't easy for a lot of people to hear. Certainly not easy for a lot of people to practice. Let's think for a moment and even discuss for a moment anger. How good is anger? Well, anger is absolutely destructive, or at least it can be. It can be. You might find a way to demonstrate to me that anger can be constructive in some contexts, but for the most part, anger is deadly. Road rage, that's road anger. It doesn't end well. Crimes of passion are typically crimes of anger in the heat of the moment. People just cannot control their very strong emotions and terrible things take place. Anger causes families to fracture, marriages to splinter. Anger causes people to feel ashamed later of what they did earlier. And honestly, it's everyday people like me and you that struggle with anger. Some people are just known to be angry people. They are no fun to be around. The Bible gives us some very direct counsel when it comes to anger. I want to share some of that with you. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he said this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. He wrote, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Now, that's fascinating. That's not the first time those words appear in the Bible. Who said them the first time? David wrote them in Psalm 4. Psalm 4 and verse 4, when he said virtually the same thing, if you're angry, do not sin. How in the world do you not sin when you're angry? It does tell us that there is such a thing as justifiable anger. Now, you would, what sort of a person would you have to be to not feel angry under certain circumstances? You plant a garden and the deer roam through and eat everything that you planted and tended and to and cared for and nurtured, gone. Because the deer or the groundhogs or some such thing got into your garden and just tore the whole thing up. Not too many people say, oh, happy days, Bambi got fed, everything is okay. More often than not, it's where's that gun or how do I keep those monsters out of here? Anger. You might say that's justifiable because your hard work went up in smoke. Somebody reverses into your car in a parking lot and does great damage to your car and then drives away. You don't know who did it, how it happened, who to contact. Your insurance covers this now. You are out of pocket. Maybe you're out of a vehicle for a while, depending on the damage. It's very hard to feel good about that. I don't think anybody wants anyone else to feel good about something like that. Somebody gives you very bad advice or careless advice. It costs you money. It does damage. These aren't the sorts of things that we feel good about. But the Bible says, if you feel that kind of anger, don't sin. And then it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger or your wrath. So what that means is you don't want to get to the end of the day hanging on to feelings of ill will towards another person. You don't want to go to sleep at night feeling malice or anger or hatred, harboring ill will against another person. You just want to let that go. Is it easy? No. But it's a command. The way this is written in the original language, Paul isn't saying, well, here's an idea. He's saying, I'm telling you, this is how it ought to be. This is a command given to us by Paul, writing in the behalf of God. So imagine if we took this seriously. Wouldn't that change a few things? You get angry. You know temptation is rising up within you. What's the best thing to do? How do we deal with this? Really, the best thing to do is to pray and go to God about this. It's to read the Bible and let the scriptures wash through your mind and really impact your heart and change your mind, because it can literally change the way your mind functions. That's what the Word of God can do. What a challenge, eh? If you're angry, don't sin. So somebody wounds you, somebody offends you, somebody does something that's really against you, and the Bible says you aren't to then take that and ratchet that up to harm or sinful behavior. You just don't want to do that. So first thing is to know that there are boundaries you've got to draw. Anger is one thing, ill will, malice, sinning because of that anger, that's altogether another. So that's out. You decide in your heart of hearts, that's not going to happen. Then you go to God and you talk to God about it. And you say, Lord, things are going to happen. And maybe I'm a little sort of a combustible person. Maybe I'm an irascible sort of a person. Maybe it doesn't take much for people to tick me off and for me to get my hackles up. So you go to God and you say, if you don't work for me today, I'm going to crash and burn. I need you to step up to the plate here, Lord, and take control of my heart, my mind, my reaction, my action, and make me the sort of person that I cannot make myself. You see? So first, you've set a baseline. This isn't acceptable. Second, you're honest. You said, I can't control my anger. God isn't asking you to control your anger. You go to God and you say, I can't do this. I need you to do this. God is asking you to let Him step into that breach, that gap in your life, and do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. This is experiential Christianity. This is the nitty-gritty of a life of faith. When things happen, that fuse is lit, and rather than allowing the fuse to burn all the way down and boom, you somehow smother that burning fuse with water, put out the flame. There isn't a bang. There's no combustion. You exhale. Your blood pressure goes back down. You maintain your Christian experience. And God is not dishonored through what you do. if you're going to be angry, the Bible says, recognizing there are going to be times that you get stretched and some things just rub your fur the wrong way, God says, don't sin. So we recognize this is unacceptable. And by the way, many people don't ever come to the point where they say, I may not do this, this is unacceptable. They might say that about others, they don't say it about themselves. Then you recognize that you can't. You don't have the capacity to swallow your own anger, but you ask God to work in your life, and then you lean on God and you tell God, today, Lord, when that coworker of mine crosses me, when my boss offends me, when somebody in traffic is inconsiderate of me, when I see what's going on in the news or on my street or I see something online, my reaction has been, but I don't want that to be my reaction now. I need you to work. And then to keep this thing happening in your life, that surrender, you pray the prayer of surrender, not my will, but your will be done. And then you go to the Bible, you feed on this, you get the principles of heaven inside your mind so that when you begin to react, you will react God's way and not your own selfish, angry, belligerent, unconverted way. So how's that for a challenge to start your day? If you're going to be angry today, and you might be, now you don't want to pursue anger. As far as possible, you ought to let anger go. But some things just happen. And when they do, if they rub you wrong, you decide, this is not going to lead me to sin. I won't dishonor God. And you just wait and see. God will do something powerful in your life today. Have a great day. May God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor John, for those inspiring words.
And thank you for joining us and spending this time with us in God's Word. You know, don't forget to join us tomorrow.
Yes, we were going to have some special features, musical features, and our international audience are really going to enjoy that. Also, Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought. So much will be in store tomorrow, so don't miss it. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, hope.study is where we would direct you to find your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study. We have no doubt. In fact, we're just fully convinced that these studies will be a blessing in your life. And friends, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. It's found in Psalms chapter 37, verse 4.
It says, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Amen, amen. You know, we hope that you've begun this day with a grateful heart because of Jesus' love and hope for you.
Amen. May the Lord bless you abundantly. Have a wonderful Wednesday, friends.
Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord. Our hearts have been blessed. They're full because you have truly touched our hearts with inspiration and great encouragement. And Lord, we pray that as we continue on with this day, that we would truly be reminded that you are the God who gives us the desires of our hearts. But let us keep our eyes on you, not on the things that we desire, but on the great gift giver that loves us so much. Thank you, Jesus, for answering our prayers. In your name, amen.